All right, everybody, come on in. I've actually fired up the wrong room. I was sitting there going like, where is everyone? And then I realized I had went to the wrong place. So, user error. Let me promote Kathy. Put her on stage. She'll be here, part of Q&A and in the chat for all of you. Let me pull up all my screens. We're going to be talking about consistency today. Very excited about this topic. We're actually going to teach a full course later this year on consistency for all of you. It's one of the top requested topics. So I have been reading some books on consistency, following some things along, trying to figure out what is it about consistency. So today we're just going to do like a mini lesson on consistency for all of you to help you with, now that we're starting the summer reset, we're going into the summer, we've all set goals and stuff. What we really want to do is we want to figure out, all right, what is consistency? Because most of us are mislabeling it, misdefining it. And then what are some of the key concepts of consistency? So let me pull up my notes. Ooh, I just fired up a whole program. Hang on, I clicked on the Corinne's got an itchy finger today, it feels like. All right, let me close this out. This is a good question. I'll answer it. I suffer from anxiety-based eating, overeating. If food is not going to be readily available, I tend to overeat before leaving home or pack a snack with me. How can I work on the thought that food is not an emergency? So it's really, you don't need to work on the thought, Rushi. What you need to work on is settling your nervous system a little bit. So we're actually, when there's an event coming up in September, it is a 2-day in-person event that we will be teaching this concept deeply in person. But like, if you can't attend that event, no worries. In August, we are also releasing a module on fear of being hungry and what are the triggers and why this happens. So let me just give you the short of it before we get into the consistency lesson. What you need to know is that it is very linked probably to past diets where you were restricted. Well, fear of hunger comes up in two major ways. There's all kinds of things, but I'll give you the two biggest ways. The first way is I'm afraid of being hungry because my body is having like what's called a diet trauma response. All that means is that if you have ever done diets where you had to be overly hungry, food was taken away from you, there was a lot of restrictions, all kinds of things like that. Then, when you are now doing the No BS program and we are waiting for slight hunger, your body starts freaking out. It starts thinking, oh no, this is like that. This was like most diets that most of us have done. And y'all can tell me, you can tell me in the chat or you can tell me with just an emoji. Like, I want you to think back to previous diets and how many of them were very low calorie. Like, you know for sure they weren't really healthy. Like, it's not like most women, if you've done a diet that required you to eat less than 1500 calories a day, we're now going into the zone of unhealthy. And the reason this is because your body just, it needs more fuel than we think it does. There's been so much research about calories and stuff, and you can still find plenty like MyFitnessPal and different places that will lower your calories way too much. And the other thing, the problem that comes up with calories is that day to day, you like have different calorie demands. And most traditional calorie counting type diets and stuff, they don't go with the swings of your human expenditure, let's say. So, what happens though is when you're doing these things and you're using, like you're overriding your body's sense of needing to eat and all this other stuff, your body like logs it internally as a life-threatening situation. Now, none of us were in a life-threatening situation. I will just say the human body is remarkable and very capable. It can live on very few calories. Like, it can do all those things, but it doesn't like it. It will start sacrificing bone tissue, muscle tissue, organ fat tissue before it even starts letting go of like what we call the visible fat. That's why a lot of times when I say, if you're not seeing the scale move like for a week or two, but you do notice like your behaviors are in check and you notice like my clothes are fitting a little differently, but I just feel so defeated because the scale's not going down. It's probably because you're actually losing what we call visible fat. And then you have people who will do really harsh diets. And I mean, y'all can tell me, how many times have you done a diet where you have lost a good portion of weight, but like no one can see it, including you? Like your clothes aren't fitting different yet. Like you just keep thinking like, oh my gosh, I've lost like 20 pounds. You'd think like I would have some visible changes. That's usually because in those situations, we are losing what we call the wrong types of fat and the wrong types of weight. We're losing like glycogen in our muscles. A lot of low carb diets do that. There's a false sense that you're losing weight in the beginning. Most of the time, you're just depleting muscle of its juju juice. Like, you know, you can lose 5 or 6 pounds in a week cutting out carbs, but never lose 1 ounce of fat. All you're doing is like what makes the muscle like work, you're just draining it. And so you're not really losing what you want to lose. And then you start tripping into the scale of where it's like, you know, you're losing 20 pounds and it's like maybe 17 of them become muscle glycogen, wasting muscle, wasting bone, and losing like fat around your liver. And none of us are just like, girl, I can't wait for that day when everybody sees my slim ass liver. Like said no one ever. So this is why it's kind of important that we think about, all right, we want to be eating according to like our hunger, and we want to be eating to, according to enough. So that first reason why so many of us get threatened around hunger, and it's like we intellectually know, like, I am not starving myself. I am doing something different with no BS. But in the moment when potential hunger arises, our brain is going back to that trauma imprint. Like, oh no, we need to freak out. This isn't safe. Like, this is like the last time. So we have what we call our like habit center brain, the automatic thoughts. It's the part of our brain that's like there to protect us and stuff, but it's not reasonable. It really is just like sending up a lot of thinking and thoughts and stuff based on what it knows. And a lot of what it knows isn't always true. So in this case, let's say that's the reason why you're feeling all of this fear around hunger. It's like, you might intellectually know I'm doing something different here, but emotionally, it's really hard for me when it's time to like, if I know I'm going to have to wait a little bit or food's not going to be readily available, I panic. I start feeling like I need to eat something so I don't overeat later. Like I start doing all these things. So the other reason, before I give you the fix, the other reason that can often come up for people is more like mine. So I kind of had some of that past diet trauma, but I will tell you the hardest thing for me to overcome when it came to waiting for hunger and stopping it enough was so much food trauma when I was little. It wasn't so much the, for me growing up, there was a true lack of food. Like it was, you know, sometimes there would just be days, like a day where my mom couldn't feed us. And then if she could, like we got one meal a day. And so we would have to overeat at that meal because we didn't know when we would eat again. So a lot of times my mom was having to feed us based on, you know, like her job might get, she worked at a hotel at night. She worked graveyard and had two little kids. We spent nights at the hotel a lot of times. We slept in conference rooms on rollaway beds growing up, all kinds of things. And she would get one meal a day at the hotel restaurant. And she asked her manager, could she just not eat and get two kids' meals so that my brother and I could eat? And that was like our life growing up. And so for me, I just remember, you know, when I was trying to lose weight, what was really hard for me was waiting for hunger. Because it's, and I mean, both sides were hard for me, I'll just be real honest. But waiting for hunger was hard for me because I often associated that with, I don't know when I'm going to eat again. Like, even though when I was a grown ass woman and married and we had food in the house, there was always this fear that, well, I don't know when the next meal's coming, so I better eat up right now. So sometimes that can cause it. So here's the fix. The first is to, like, if you will journal on this, Ruchi, and like really journal on why it is different now than it's been in the past. Like, this was one of the things that was really helpful for me, was to spend some time writing about why now is very different than what I've experienced in the past. Because what you want to do is you want your habit brain to catalog these conversations. Because right now, your habit brain has cataloged your past experiences. The nice thing about the habit brain is it's kind of a dumb motherfucker. It just really is. So if you visualize things going differently, if you journal why things are okay, if you write about like things you want to think about and do the next time this comes up, like in a real, calming, peaceful way, that's giving your brain reps. Your brain like thinks this is happening. Your brain is not thinking like this is all fake, this is not real, and whatever. So if you can do that, then you should see some more ability to have patience in that moment. So it won't go from like, oh, I journaled once or twice on this, and then I still don't understand why every time food is not going to be readily available, I'm still freaking out. It's going to go from, I journal on this for a little while. I do discovery worksheets anytime this happens. I remind myself that this is like, this is not a big deal. I am figuring out how to have a better relationship with hunger. As long as you're not freaking out and thinking something's wrong with you, then we kind of move into more practical work. Okay. So we do that so that the next time this situation comes up, you start freaking out because you know what it's like. Like, like, I think these things, my body feels this way. I know that I start searching for food, I start grabbing for snacks. That's now my big trigger to do something new. Whereas what a lot of us do is like, I need to get rid of all these behaviors. I need to get rid of these feelings, and I need to get rid of these thoughts so that I can act different. And that's not how the process works. The process is we get to know what those situations are like for us so that when we're pitted into that situation again, we're not just acting the way we always do. It's like, oh, I'm over here looking for protein bars. I'm starting to think, oh my God, I better eat because I might not eat for a long time and I might set myself to overeat. Now I feel my anxiety. And that's when we say, like, and this is that moment I've been waiting for. This is that moment where now I want to tell myself, ah, this is just the cycle I'm going through. But there's a part of me that also has done some work that knows I don't need to eat. And that's all you have to do. You don't have to like have a long sent like the story. You don't need a whole new crop of thoughts. You don't really need a lot of magic thoughts in the moment. The magic thought in the moment is like, and I anticipated all of this. I knew this would be coming up for me. And I also know that I had agreed I wouldn't eat to see what would happen. And then you do that a few times. And then this is where the magic happens. We do that a few times, and our brain gets to, in lifetime, experience something brand new. In lifetime, our brain is like watching us now get a little hungry, food's not available, wait to the next meal, eat. And our brain now is like, oh, I have to have a new story. It's not happening the way it used to. This is completely different. So now your habit brain has to start cataloging new stories. That's why it's really important that when you do the new thing, that you write about it the next day, like, I'm so proud of me. I did something scary. It felt weird in the moment, but I did it anyway. And here's all the positive benefits that happened from that. So now we're releasing dopamine and a very another round of like practicing the experience the way you wanted it to. So your brain starts getting rewired to be like, huh, this over here now feels good. This over here now feels safe. This over here now is what I want to start cataloging. And then eventually, it just like you will notice that the fear and stuff starts fading away. It gets easier and easier with each rep, and things just start changing after a little while. So that's really all we want to do. All right, let's actually talk about consistency. I think that was a great conversation to have. And I want to teach on consistency. And then Lana, I tell you what, you hang on, and then I'm going to teach. And then if you feel like something clicks for you, reply back in the Q&A and then tell me what you think, because I think today's lesson is really going to help you. Okay. So we're going to talk about consistency. The first thing that I think that all of it, let me get the, actually, I pulled up, I've got two sets of notes. I know that sounds crazy, but I really wanted this to be a good class. And so we've got two sets of notes, and I just need to get both of them up at the same time so I don't miss anything. All righty. The first thing I want to tell y'all is that a lot of us don't really understand what consistency is. Consistency is showing up and learning what you need to improve on. It is a, like, for most of us, we think of consistency as I do it right every single day, or I do it perfectly every single day. I fill in all my little holes, and that means I'm consistent. That's called perfectionism. So perfectionism is like, how many streaks can I get? How many days in a row can I get? Very often, it feels like your behaviors are forced, and you're not really thinking things through when you're on the pursuit for perfectionism. When we are in consistency energy means each and every day, I have an idea of what these behaviors or these habits or whatever I'm doing, like if you're planning each day, if you are doing your doable hunger, drinking your water, doing your sleep. Here's the behaviors and habits that I want to do on a daily basis. And barring nothing going wrong or whatever, then I would make a plan every day. I would follow it and I would assess it. If everything's working right, I ask, am I hungry at every meal? I stop at enough at every meal. I drink all my water. I get all my sleep. As long as everything's working, you know, like I don't forget. There's no extra stressors. I'm not busy. I'm not traveling, whatever. So that, like, we want to just be consistent in our efforts. But the problem is that many of us think that consistency is just like this act of perfectionism. And what really, when we think about theoretically what consistency is, theoretically, you do need to be disciplined to be consistent because you're going to be showing up very often to do things when it's hard, when you don't want to, when you don't feel like it. We also need to be very determined to be consistent. So that means we need to understand why we're doing our behaviors. This is like a little tangent, but one of the things I want all of you to be thinking about is having a why. For your overall weight loss goal is great. You need to have a why. You need to have some personal reasons why you're trying to lose weight, why you want to get to your goal number, all those things. But a lot of us stop short there. And I have a podcast coming out pretty soon on this, but I'm going to give y'all the sneak peek to it. You also need whys behind every behavior that you're going to do, why this is important to you. Because your bigger whys are great. They kind of keep you focused, but the behavioral ones are the ones that give you the energy and the juice day to day. Like if I have a why, like back when I was losing weight and I started like, you know, day when I was well over 250 pounds, on day one, like I really wanted to lose all my weight. I wanted to feel sexy. I wanted to be a role model for Logan. Those are my big whys. But each day when I had to get up and do my 15-minute walk, that was all so far off in the future. And it was so big. It didn't give me purpose and enough like anchoring to get off the couch. Like it just didn't. So when I would like, if y'all know my story, when I first started, I knew I couldn't start with a lot of things. I just was like, I gotta get good at doing some really small things, and then let's see where we go from there. Like I literally talk about giving yourself some grace. As hard as I was on myself and stuff, there was something in me that knew that I had to start. And that I was gonna have to feel like it wasn't good enough. I was gonna have to just like you can either feel not good enough because you're not doing jack shit, or you can feel not good enough because you're actually doing some things. Because I didn't know how to like be proud of little things yet. I didn't know that how important those things were. I just knew that that was better than this. And that was enough of a thought switch and a light bulb moment for me to decide what it is I was going to do each day. So the very first thing I picked was like walking. I was going to get up off my couch. I was going to walk for at least 15 minutes every night once Chris got home and put him in bed. It was like the very first thing. And so for me, I was like, okay, I'm going to need a really important reason for why these walks are gonna do it. Because when I was sitting on the couch at 7 o'clock at night, by the time Chris would get home and I would get Logan, like, off the booby and all the things and hand him over to his daddy, I had to have a reason why taking a 15-minute walk was important. And being sexy one day and being a role model never cut it. But in that moment, I would tell myself, like you will never lose weight unless you start following through on something. And I picked something really simple, like walking. And I was like, you picked walking because you get so winded and so tired every single day with Logan. So we've got to figure out how to quit being so winded and so tired, or we're not going to be able to keep going. We're not going to be able to keep losing weight. For me, that was motivating. It did not feel demeaning at all. And that's how, like, this is what we have to do with whys when it comes to consistency. So I want you all to do this right now. I want you to think about some of the behaviors that you've picked to do for the summer reset for your summer weight loss. And I would love for y'all to come up with some reasons why each behavior is important. So just think about a few of the key behaviors you're going to focus on this summer, and then come up with some really good whys behind them. That will not make you motivated in the moment on days when you're tired, on days when you're stressed, on days you don't feel like it. But what it does is it makes you feel on purpose. It makes you feel willing. Because I think a lot of you, to be consistent, you have a lot of weird ideas about it. But one of the things I think you need to like kind of come to grips with is like, there's just going to be a lot of days that we have to, in order to be consistent, we have to figure out the little things that we can do that allow us to get going. Okay. So that's the first thing is like, in theory, we've got to be disciplined. We've got to be determined. And so that's why we need our whys. And we also need to be unwavering. Unwavering just means that when you are on the pursuit for your goal, you need a key thought that's not going to allow you to quit. And so for me, one of the things that I knew that was going to happen is that I was going to fuck up a lot. I had never tried to lose weight and not fucked up. So I was just banking that, okay, the mistakes are coming. They're coming. And so I decided, like, since mistakes are coming and I talk to myself like an asshole when that happens, I got to change two things. The first thing I had to change to be consistent was I needed to keep the things that I was going to do very doable based on where my self-esteem, my current level of confidence, and where my current motivations were. And that changed all the way throughout my weight loss. It's even different now. That's always something, and that's one of the things about consistency is you've got to be flexible because your life changes, seasons change, circumstances change, your self-confidence changes, support levels change. There's so much fluidity in life, and when we're trying to be perfect, we have no flexibility. We don't take into consideration changing some of our rules and standards based on what's happening in life. We just like, oh gosh, if I can't do it this way, then I can't do it at all. I might as well just give up. So when we are going to be consistent, we have to be unwavering. So the two things I did was first was I kept everything small, especially in the beginning, because for me in the beginning, I knew I was like, I need to figure out a way to be able to surprise myself. I need to be able to figure out a way to easily get things done and mess up as little as possible. I knew the mess ups were coming, but I just knew that if I started off too hard and too heavy and I messed up, I would probably just immediately give up. And that's that perfectionism. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do this different this time. I'm going to try really small things so that even if I mess those up, they're really easy to try again. It's not like if I started, let's say a keto diet and I went like, 3 weeks without any bread or any kind of carbs. And then one day I eat them and then I'm like, I got to start all over. And then a lot of times we just quit when we do those all or nothing type things. For me, what was different was I was like, okay, I'm going to start with these little things so that if one day I do something, I can pick it back up the next day pretty easily. I just have to not be an asshole to myself. So if I missed one day of walking, all I had to do is figure out a way to do 15 minutes the next day. I didn't have to figure out how to, do an hour long thing and read it like I was, supposed to, work out for 6 days in a row and go to a boot camp and do all these things. It's like, no, this is going to be a lot easier for me. If it's just a walk, that is something that if I even missed, I could restart pretty easily. And I just met myself where I was. The second key component for me was telling myself a power thought. And it was really simple. I don't know how I'm going to lose all this weight, but I know each day I can figure it out. I kept it to the daily, like every single day, I was like, and I'm just going to figure this out. I just kept thinking like that made it very normal to me that I was going to run up on problems and obstacles and stuff. That for me was a real key piece of my weight loss was I dropped this idea that nothing was going to get in my way. I totally embraced the idea of like, oh, weight loss is supposed to have lots of challenges and lots of obstacles and lots of things that get in our way so that we can figure out how to show up better for those things in life without food. And then as those things happen, I'm going to learn to be someone that shows up differently and consistently in life without food. So, but in practice, so that's the theoretical side of consistency. The practical side of consistency is all about flexibility and being adaptable. That's really what consistency is all about. So, perfectionism is about getting it right every day. And consistency really is about how flexible can you be in the moments? Like, if you mess up, how flexible can you be in your self-talk? If today is a really busy day and you can't write a 24-hour plan, then how flexible can you be the rest of the day to make good decisions? If you're going out to eat last minute and that was not on the plan, How can you be flexible when you go in order? And a lot of us are not doing that. We think that if something gets in our way, all of a sudden we're just hosed. We're not being consistent. Again, consistency is not how many days in a row you do something. Consistency is about looking at things and evaluating. Am I setting myself up to consistently show up in a way that I'm proud of? And for a lot of you, that means like, sometimes I overeat. Am I consistently showing up in those overeats in a way that I can be proud? Am I consistently learning from those moments? Am I consistently thinking about what could be different the next time? Am I consistently pivoting the conversation that I'm having with myself? Am I consistently turning down the volume of the asshole that lives in me? Am I consistently turning up the volume of new kinds of conversations that need to happen? Because the biggest thing that I need all of you to understand is that when you're losing weight and when it comes to consistency, the most important, like of all things, I've barely been thinking about this for a few days now. If there was one thing that is uber important to your weight loss journey, it is to understand what your current emotional capacity is for weight loss. Because when you're losing weight, you are going, like if you're going to be a successful weight loss person, you are now putting yourself in the position to have a lot of overeats that you have to figure out. You're putting yourself in the position to have a lot of moments where things don't go your way and you have to figure out how to talk to yourself through them. If you're going to lose all of your weight, you have to put yourself in a position to have other people make comments about your body, whether you like it or not. For some of you, you're going to put yourself in the position for some people in your life to be naysayers about it. So like, well, I hope you can keep it off. I mean, this sounds great, but you failed so many times in the past. So you have to like put, you're putting yourself in the position to hear other people's thoughts and opinions and learn how to trust your own. Whereas some of you are actually going to be right the opposite. To lose weight, you have to put yourself in a position for no one to give a shit, for no one to support you. And so you're putting yourself in a position to develop the emotional capacity to support yourself, to be your own best cheerleader, to figure out how to keep going, even when no one is helping you. So if there was one thing that all of you actually need to learn to lose weight, it is, this is a game of developing my emotional capacity in new ways. This is not about how many days I actually, like, it really doesn't matter how many days you follow your plan. Because for some of you, you may follow your plan 3 times a week out of 7. The other 4, you may not be following your plan, but you're making really good decisions. So if you looked at you on paper, somebody would be like, well, you're not consistent. But it depends on how you're judging consistency. If you're flexible as fuck, and every time like, well, I'm not really in the mood for this, but this is totally like, this is a good trade. This is what I'm going to have. I thought it through. I can for sure lose weight eating this way. Then you're actually more consistent than someone who follows their plan every day and is miserable the entire time. Hates their diet life. They may even be able to string together 300 days eating on plan. But if the entire time they couldn't be flexible, they couldn't go out to eat, they felt cheated and restricted and stuff, is that the consistency we want? Do we want to build that consistent habit? Or do we want to build the consistent habit of like, I think through shit. I'm like really learning that this is not a black and white thing in weight loss anymore. So Let me give you my four biggest tips for consistency. Number one is all of you, I want you to have a minimum baseline. We taught that ages ago, and I'm going to bring back some gold. So from the vaults of Corinne's mind, we are going to have what's called minimum baselines for all of the behaviors and habits that we know we need in order to lose weight. Now, for all of you, that's going to be very different. So, you know, just depends on like what foods you eat, your lifestyle and stuff. For me personally, my minimum baseline is I make a plan on the days I feel like I need a plan. Now, most days I just make a plan because it's my habit, but I will be really honest. There are some days when I hit the ground running, not literally running. Let's just be real honest. Grin, not a big fan of the running anymore, but I hit the ground like first thing in the morning, I get to work. Like I get so excited about something. I'm like right now I'm taking this course. It's all about like how to like build classes and things like that. I love teaching. And so in this, I'm just like amped up about it. And so I can't, like the time of day that I work on it is first thing in the morning because the rest of the day is, you know, work shit. And so I wake up excited and I'd want to just dive in. And like right now, I'm just like, I feel pretty good about my food choices. I got plenty of great options in the kitchen. If I order Uber Eats, I know exactly the places that we always go to. I have menus. I don't necessarily have to write it down because I'm being flexible. So my minimum baseline for planning is every day that I want to. Now, for some of y'all, you might want to have a minimum baseline of like if you're earlier in your journey and you're like, no, it's really important for me to have, you know, like my stuff planned each day, then your minimum baseline might be, I do make a quick plan every single day. I write something down. I may not do the entire planner page. I don't even have to answer all the questions, but it's really important for me. One of my minimum baselines is I always, always, always ask before I eat, am I hungry? That is just like a minimum baseline for me. For me, that keeps the weight off. It's like, because most of the time, like I rarely eat when I'm not hungry, but every now and then I have a day where I'm just like, it's like eat now or forever hold your peace. A lot of times my Tuesdays are like that. My Tuesdays, my meetings usually start around 9. They don't end until 4. And I'm just one of those people who likes to have things back to back to back to back. I will like go into a meeting and say, give me 2 minutes. I've got to pee because I haven't been to the bathroom. On those days, I always eat breakfast early, whether I'm hungry or not. But in that moment, I'm asking the question. And I tell myself, this is where I get very consistent with eating only when you're hungry. The consistency is I am very consistent with the question. And I'm very consistent with being honest with myself about, do I need to eat now or not? On days when it's like that, I am consistent with saying I should go ahead and eat versus trying to wait until 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I don't like eating. Every now and then I'll eat in a meeting. If I get super hungry, sometimes I will, but I really don't enjoy eating in meetings. I like to enjoy my food. Like when I eat, I do not eat at my desk. I go, I sit, I watch a little TV and I eat. I do the same thing at night. I do the same thing for breakfast. I only eat at my desk when I feel like, okay, I'm actually just really hungry. It's better for my body to eat in a moment when I'm not going to be in, you know, like undistracted, total enjoyment than it is for me to wait. So I'm consistent there. So I want all of you to have minimum baselines. So if your minimum baseline might be on my really busy days, the only thing I expect of myself is to ask, am I hungry? And to pay attention when I'm eating. That's it. I know that that will get me long-term weight loss. I don't need to worry about any of the other basics. The second thing is focus on doing little things really well. For consistency, this has been proven over and over and over again. If you read like, James Clear's book on Atomic Habits. There's a lot of habit experts, BJ Fogg's Tiny Habits. I've read all kinds of habit books. There's another one I just recently read. Oh, I can't remember the name, but I don't even have my phone, it's charging. But anyway, those two books will do all of you very well. But what is the name of that book? Now it's driving me crazy. I think it's Discipline is the Way. Something about discipline. I can't remember the guy's name either. Somebody tell me in the chat. I bet you Compound Effect is another really good book. He wrote a Ryan Holiday. Look for Ryan Holiday's book on discipline. It's like Discipline is the Way or Discipline is Something. It's a really good book. I'm over three quarters of the way through it, listening to it. But a lot of these books are really good for just filling your head with changing how you think about habits and consistency and discipline. So one of the things that James Clear says in Atomic Habits is that we want to focus on doing little things really well, because what we do in weight loss is we tend to overcomplicate what needs to be done. I'm going to tell all of you right now, weight loss is way less complicated than you're making it. Like, you do not need to radically change all the foods you're eating. So many of you just need to focus on the emotional eating components. Y'all get so carried away with, like, oh my gosh, I've regained some weight, whatever. And you start imagining the most ultra extreme, like, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to suffer every night. I'm not going to be able to eat this. I'm like, right now, if you're eating a bag of Cheetos and a sleeve of Oreos, guess what? Get really good on little things at night. Eat a small bag of Cheetos rather than out of the big one and trade it for four Oreos. Like, start with all these little things that you can change, because what consistency tells us, it's not so much are you consistent in big behaviors? It's are you consistently making micro improvements? That's what really successful people do. They are really good at looking at things and not radically transforming things. I mean, I just want y'all to even think about one of the most successful inventions of all time is the fucking iPhone. Look how many versions that they've had and small changes they make. There's a reason why it's so successful. It's because they don't radically overhaul it every single time. They put it out there, they figure out what people would like to have next, and they make small changes to it. The same thing happens in weight loss, but when you're on a hurry to lose your weight, you need to tell yourself, like, look, I will get there a lot faster through small changes that add up over time and being consistent, because I'll get the compound effect. Most of y'all are trying to start off really hard and you don't have the emotional capacity to do that level of work. You don't know how to talk to yourself if it does, because the more you try, think about this. The harder it is that you set things up in the beginning, when you're also scaling the amount of failure that you're going to experience, because you're just going against your brain. Your brain is like in the habit of eating certain ways, it's in the habit of feeling certain ways, it's in the habit of asking for certain things. And then your environment is probably more supportive of the old you than the new you. And the people around you are not used to this new version of you. So you have a lot, like when you scale up real quick on all the things you're going to do to radically lose weight, you also scale up the obstacles alongside it. And the problem is that when you do that, you haven't scaled up your emotional skills. You don't know how to talk to yourself yet. You don't know how to fail. You don't know how to just restart. You don't know all these things that we need in order to become consistent. So, focus on doing little things well will serve you well. The third thing is missing a day has been proven to actually help with discipline and consistency. This is like, I am in, I know a few of you are in there too. As you can tell, so I am in Mel Robbins' launch program. She sold it a few weeks ago. I wanted to join it because I love everything Mel Robbins. I actually know her personally just a little, like we are not besties, but I do have her number in my phone if I ever need to text her. But I am like one of those people. I will not bother Mel Robbins. Like, I'm not gonna do that. Like every, like maybe once a year, I just check in and say, hey, just wanted to say, happy birthday or whatever. But anywho, I joined. I don't post in the community. Y'all never gonna see me doing anything over there, but I'm a solid assassin. And for all of you who are in that community, I am way behind in the videos. Guess what? Kryn don't give a fuck. Like y'all think, boy, they send out some emails. They are on like day, I don't know, 30 something. I don't even know what video y'all are on. I'm on video 17, just taking my notes, just doing it at my leisure, just enjoying myself and learning. Because I just do not put fake ass pressure on myself on stuff like that. So the reason why I tell you this though is one day I was talking about in this video about how research shows that when you miss a day, it's actually really good for you. It's good for your, like, if you, let's say you miss a day of planning or you miss a day of asking, am I hungry? You miss a day of working out, whatever it is. Missing a day, one, doesn't set you back. It actually makes your ability to form a new habit stronger because one of the key things about habits is this willingness to start at any time. So if you think about when you miss a day, the best way to be a consistent person is like, okay, then tomorrow I just start back. I'm just going to do this next time. I'm just going to add this on to what I've been doing. And it teaches your brain that there's no excuse to just keep going. There's no reason not to. It strengthens your ability to do things once and you're not necessarily losing momentum, but you want the skill of being able to do something when you feel like momentum might have been lost. That is like one of the key skills of weight loss and consistency is the ability to say, no matter what I'm telling myself, no matter how terrible I feel about this, all of that is my imagination. Habit-based science says this is not a problem. This is actually part of the process. And so if I restart, I've just shown myself that slip-ups and stuff are now normal and they don't slow you down. The only thing that can slow you down is catastrophizing it. By fuck it eating, quitting, that will slow you down, or taking like a whole week off before you restart. The time between a mistake and just going right back to what you were doing, the more you shorten those windows, you're not going to have a problem losing weight. You're just not. It's all part of the process. And then the last thing, because, well, let me just say this. When you miss a day, I want you to think about this. You can think this slows me down, or you could think this is where I get to practice determination, reflection, learning, and restarting without drama. Which one feels better? Option A, which is fuck me, I screwed up, I got to start all over. I never get anything right. That's catastrophizing is extreme conversations. I always screw up is usually what y'all say. Or I would be option B, which is, oh, I messed up today or I missed today. So tomorrow, in order for me to be consistent, and to build my consistency skills, I get to practice my determination. I get to remind myself why this isn't a big problem. I get to remind myself why I'm willing to start tomorrow. I tell myself why this isn't a do-over. I get to tell myself why I'm not starting from the beginning. I like really get to reshape and rewire my self-concept in this moment. Or I can just keep reliving the same self-concept that I have. I can just allow the old conversation, no interrupts, no arguing with it, no trying to change it. I can just sit here and just like, I just feel terrible, but I keep thinking. I can just keep being that whiny ass bitch. That's who I can be. Or I can go over here to the land of better, where I get to practice my determination, get to tell myself why my horseshit's not true. I get to reflect on what happened and what I can learn from it. And then I can just restart drama-free so that I can become a weight loss drama-free bitch. Wouldn't it be great if we were all hashtag drama-free bitches? But the only way to do that is you have to rewire your self-concept, which means the old self-concept has to come in. It has to have its say. And then you have to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now look, that feels like some ass. Smells like ass, looks like ass, feels like ass. It must be asshole talk. So here's what we're doing instead. And we have to have those conversations. And no, ma'am, some of that shit ain't gonna feel real. You know why? Because you're not used to it. So if it doesn't, like, if we know that the only reason why things feel real is because we get used to the way we talk to ourselves, then that just means the formula for believing new things is I have to get used to hearing new things so that eventually this also feels real. And then the last thing we have to do is applaud the efforts that you make. So this is key. A lot of you are really good at applauding your results and outcomes. Look at me. Oh my God, I lost 2 pounds this week. Girl, way to go. No, I don't care. Like, we can celebrate that, but y'all only celebrate those moments. I am talking to all you bitches who are not celebrating the micro moments. Do you know the most important things to celebrate are habits, the boring shit that you do every day? When you make a plan, you need to celebrate. Like, good for me. I'm so proud of me for making a plan. This is one more plan in the bucket of thousands of plans that's probably going to get all this weight off. We've got to celebrate our efforts. So even on days where you've had a bad day, and maybe you were only able to ask, am I hungry? 2 meals. You have to tell yourself, hey, even on your worst day, you tried. You gave the effort that you could. You are so consistent in trying. You are so consistent when it comes to thinking about things. You don't always do every little step, but you are consistently making the efforts. And when you stay in the land of consistently making efforts, you will lose weight. It's when we get out of that headspace that we end up wafting back over into perfection land. And in perfection land, we're not consistent. We are black and white. We are on or we are off. Okay, let me take a look at the questions and see what comes up. Consistency is about how I will show up and do it differently, not about doing it perfectly. I also need a why behind every behavior because it will give me the daily juice. There you go. I hear Corinne saying, Am I consistently learning from the overeats? This had me feeling anxious and tell myself I will never be able to lose weight. Look at all the discovery worksheets I've done and I still can't break this cycle. What little pivot can I make to change this? Well, Carla, let's ask you this. Where would you be without them? When your brain wants to ask like, I've done all these discovery worksheets, all it means is that you haven't unlocked it yet. I would just like you. The first thing I would say is like, okay, what would it be like if I was never doing discovery worksheets? What, then I would know nothing. It's not like you don't know anything. But you might be having a hard time figuring out what are your discovery worksheets telling you. What I would do if I was you, Carla, is I would look at your discovery worksheets, like the last 20. What are the patterns? And I would take that to ask coaches, say, like, I did an audit of my discovery worksheets. And I noticed, like, I'm eating like these foods, I'm eating at this time. Here are the feelings. Some are emotional, some are habits, some are mind, like, catalog them. You know, it'd be a good idea, Kathy. Maybe you can just tell Yasmin this. This is actually a really good idea. I'd have to think on it. We're going to be rewriting the No BS program to release next January. How did it would be great if we had an like a way to audit, like teach people how to audit their discovery worksheets. I'm gonna put my brain to work on that, y'all, because that's a really good thing. Anybody, give me an emoji if y'all would like to, if y'all would enjoy like a discovery worksheet audit kind of thing, like some classes on that. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to figure that out. But here's the short way to do it. The easy way to do it is for now is you literally just look at your discovery worksheets. Just go back through the last 20, you go back through the last 10. And I would just like make myself some columns. And I would have like a column for, you know, time of day. And you just write down like this was the time of day they were happening. Then I would have like a column for this was what I was feeling. I would just have like, here's the feel, like one word feelings. Like when you look at it, you'll probably kind of know, like, And this is the feeling, not this is the key for y'all. Sometimes your discovery worksheets are about your thoughts about your self after the overeat. The discovery worksheet is there to figure out what, like what was the precursor to the overeat. So it's what was the thinking and the feeling and the things that were going on that overeating was the behavior that I did. So it's very different than what sometimes y'all do is your discovery worksheets are more of a reflection on how you think about yourself after the overeat. That's more for your journaling. The discovery worksheet is for us to figure out what's going on in there. So I would have like thoughts and my feelings. I would have types of food. And then I would just look for any other things that are going on. So, y'all, I'm still getting over that cold I've been hanging on to for a little bit. I would just kind of go through there and you just want to look for common patterns. And then just pick one that's like, okay, I see that very often I'm eating when I feel this emotion, or I see I'm consistently eating this thing. So, what could I do to change up this thing? Because sometimes with discovery worksheets, we don't necessarily have to change like all the thoughts and feelings. Sometimes we can literally just change our circumstance a little bit. We can just kind of change, like, okay, like I typically eat a bunch of candy at night. And so if I know that I'm a nighttime candy eater, then what I can learn from that is maybe I need to plan something that I can have at night until I can figure out why I want to eat at night. So I'm going to turn down the volume of what I'm eating. I'm just going to make a micro improvement there while I'm over here working on what would it take for me to know to no longer be a nighttime eater, you know, that kind of thing. All right. Since I'm losing my voice, it's now a good time to get out of here. It's right at 11 o'clock. I'm going to start coughing on y'all. Y'all have a good one. I will see everybody on Sunday. Keep posting in Facebook. I'm going to be sharing some of my stuff. I shared something the other day. You can always go to hashtag Corinne's advice and you can kind of see, you can see things like when I'm coaching people in the Facebook groups, it's the archive of everything I've ever coached. I don't always use that hashtag, but I try to remember. And then anytime that I create my own behind the scenes stuff, I use hashtag Corinne's advice. So you can just type that into the Facebook group and you can find things. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all. Ahem.